Lou Anne Thompson described the week after the November 8th election as a whirlwind. And in that whirlwind, she realized something. Lou Anne is a professor of oceanography at the University of Washington. Her realization? Climate change scientists can't just talk about their findings with other like-minded scientists at universities and research labs. With a Trump presidency imminent, climate change scientists must figure out how to explain their science to people who either aren't interested or flat out deny that climate change is a problem.
Well, there's been a lot of talk within the Trump transition team about funding of climate research and also backing out of the Paris Accord. That changes both how we study the climate system as well as the role of the United States in mitigating against future climate change.
Should scientists be reacting to elections?
Oh, I think we have to. I think that we live within the sort of body politic of the United States. I mean, most of my funding comes from the federal government. So in terms of reacting to, I have to make plans about my research group and where that's going, and that's going to be impacted by the Trump administration.
But do you aim your research at protecting your funding?
No, I don't. But I do have concerns about keeping my research going. So I absolutely work on problems that I think are important and tractable with the resources that are available.
I interview scientists sometimes, we do here at KUOW, and it can be hard to translate their knowledge to listeners. You're kind of rolling your eyes and kind of nodding your head. Why is that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's partly because when we get into our own science, we get really excited about it and about the details. And, you know, there's one thing to talk about the details of my research, which probably wouldn't be very interesting to your listeners. But
why not?
I'll get stuck in all the technical jargon and talking about why I think that this particular part of the ocean is important for interacting with the atmosphere. But when I think about the broader issues of climate science, I think those are things that we have to get better at communicating about, not just about our small piece of the puzzle. So it's, say, talking about the results of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and the community of scientists that work together to figure out what's going on in our planet and what we expect will happen in the future.
So take me from the way things are now to what you're hoping for. Typically, you'd have a finding and you would publish it in a scientific journal?
Right. So typically what I do is I have a research result or a graduate student has a research result and we present it at a national or international meeting. I just presented research in France on some satellite sea level research I was doing. Or you go to the American Geophysical Union and then you write a paper that you submit to a journal. It gets reviewed by your peers and it's published. And that's sort of the end.
And what's the limit of that?
The limit of that is the audience, right? You are only reaching the people who are interested in that particular area of research and can access the information through the technical information within the publication. It's not usually that accessible. Plus, a lot of the journals have paywalls, so not anyone can look at the results of the publications.
And what do you want to do differently?
So I think that what we need to do differently is to think about our science as part of this overall enterprise and understanding the planet and communicating the broader issues about climate science. Many of us do that, but I think we have to get better at it and we have to get better at reaching different audiences.
So give us an example. I'm picturing Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson is awesome, right? But not everyone is Neil deGrasse Tyson, but you can think about audiences in a number of different ways. You can think about our students that we reach, you know, from freshmen through graduate students. You can think about our peers, as I've described. You can think about sort of people who are on the environmental activist side that sort of believe that there are big things going on in our planet, and you can help them to gain a better understanding. And then you can think about people that maybe either haven't thought about it or are actively skeptical about issues related to climate science and climate change. Sure.
What is it like for you and other scientists on that other microphone trying to translate what you do in an interview?
It's really tough. And in fact, I went through a communications training and I was stymied at one point because one of the interviews viewers was struggling to sort of get what I was working on. And so he said, okay, Luann, since you're an oceanographer, what do you feel when you're on the bow of the ship looking out over the waves? And I froze because all of my work is with climate models and satellite data, and I don't go to sea. So how do I explain being an oceanographer, being interested in the role of the oceans and climate, but I don't scuba dive? I don't study whales, and I just got stuck.
Well, what can you do about that? You don't scuba dive.
No, and actually, I have a pat answer now that I give, and
oh,
I say all of my oceans are on my computer, and I like to keep them that way. But I also have to explain how much we can learn about the planet by using Earth-observing satellites, by using climate models, by combining the information to those two data streams, and we can get at questions that you can't get at by just looking at the ocean from, you know, a ship.
Is there a popular misconception about you and about climate scientists? We've heard so much about people, about mistrust of the elites, right? And so if Trump voters just they're in their bubble, other people are in other bubbles, and they don't trust a liberal elitist scientist, what can you do about that?
Well, I've been thinking about that, and that's something that I talked about in the blog post I wrote recently about it's not only climate science we have to talk about, we also have to talk about how science is done and this sort of skeptical framework with which we come to science, that we're not doing it to get paid our salary. We're doing it to find truth in the world. And we also have to acknowledge that we're very privileged to do this work because it's an awful lot of fun. And you know, it's like solving a puzzle every day when you come into work. But we're not happy until that puzzle is solved. And somehow communicating that scientific enterprise, I kind of feel like we have to do that better.
So are you calling on your fellow scientists to make a difficult switch in mindset?
I'm not sure if I'm calling on scientists to do that. I think most of us are pretty agree with how things to be are going to be done. Maybe I'm calling on us to be a little bit braver about getting out into the world.
Braver?
Yeah. It's scary to put yourself in front of an audience of 50 people at a library. I know it doesn't seem like it when we all go into a classroom every day, but it's a different audience. You don't know what they're going to throw at you. You often have to, do additional research to cover areas that you might not be expert on. And you know, since you're a skeptical scientist, you want to have confidence in what you say. So it is kind of a scary thing to do.
What's at stake if you fail?
Well, the future of the planet. I think that's sort of the the pat answer. And I think not only the future of the planet, but the power that science has to make the world a better place, whether it's with climate change or anything else.
Luann Thompson is a professor of oceanography at the University of Washington. She directs the program on climate change, and she knows how to tell you about it, too. She doesn't scuba dive. She does not get pulled around the ocean by dolphins. We're tweeting out a link to Professor Thompson's blog post now, so join us on Twitter at KUOW.